forward to episode 82 of Into Your Head, which I've made about 14 minutes so far. It's turning out to be absolutely one of the worst episodes of Into Your Head ever. No particular reason, it's just the content is particularly, particularly ungood, if that's the word. It probably isn't, actually. Let me just check the internet. Ungood. Is that a real word? Let's do a Google search. Well, apparently it's a newspeak word, which is some kind of... it's a kind of a... Anyway, you see what I mean. I can't even make a little story out of that. I just end up going, me. I'm just not on top form today. I shouldn't really be recording. I should just do something else other than record an episode of Into Your Head. Because if I put this online, people are going to come along and hear this, and it'll be their first ever experience of Into Your Head, and they'll think, that's a load of crap. I'm not listening to that ever again. I want my money back. I want my half an hour of my life back that he stole from me. Well, technically, he didn't steal it, because it wasn't mine to keep. I don't own time. I'm not the god of time. I'm not whatever the god of time's name is. Hold on a minute. Let's see what the god of time's name is. Who's the god of time? There's a god of thunder and a god of other stuff. I can't seem to find the god of time on the internet. There is a website called God of Time, but it appears to be for some sort of computer game. And there's a site called Time for God, which is a different thing. That's a religious thing. I want to know who the God of Time is. In one of those old religions, he used to have gods of everything. Because there was a god of weather, and there was a god of animals, and there was a god of people, and there was a god of other gods, and there was a god of dogs. And the god of dogs probably had his own dog, because otherwise he wouldn't be much of a god of dogs. That would be like someone coming along and saying, I'm going to do a podcast about cats. I don't have a cat, but I'm just going to make it up as I go along. So no, I think we can safely assume that the god of dogs had a dog. Now, say it had, he's probably still there. He hasn't gone away. Or else he never existed. People don't believe in him anymore. I don't know. I haven't done my research into this. This is a spontaneous podcast. I make it up as I go along. I don't know. Now, I just bought the search result that says, every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. Let's see. Every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten, was a headline of an image created by a member of the website Fark.com in 2002. The images of a kitten known as Cliché Kitten being chased by blah 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 blah. Now, this is a Wikipedia article. It's headed, every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. That's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous encyclopedia I've ever come across. There's a picture of this thing that they're referring to. There's a kitten, and there's two scary-looking animated characters chasing the kitten. And the kitten looks a bit like my cat, Harry, who recently went missing. So as far as I'm concerned, this is in very poor taste. Admittedly, the kitten in this is slightly lighter-looking than... in colour than Harry, and probably younger, because Harry, of course, wasn't a kitten anymore. But still, nevertheless, I choose to take offence at this. That's the great thing about the modern world. You can choose to take offence at things, especially on the best, the most fun part of it is when you choose to take offence on behalf of someone else. You can put out, if someone put out a television programme featuring dead cats, someone can come along and say, this is offensive to anyone who has a dead cat. And that person doesn't even have to have a dead cat. You can just take offence on behalf of other people who have dead cats and go right to the newspapers and say, that's a disgraceful thing. There was something on the television or something, I forget what I said it was, about dead cats. And I'm taking offence on behalf of all people who have dead cats, because this is extremely hurtful and insensitive. And then the newspaper will publish the letter, and someone else will write him the next day and say, that person who took offence at dead cats should go and get a live cat and get over it. And then someone else will write in saying, I agree with the person about the dead cats, fair play to him, well done. And then the newspaper will see that and it'll say, oh, we've published two letters now in favour of the anti-dead cats protests. We better publish, for balance, another letter from the pro-dead cats lobby. So then they'll publish another letter at random from someone who's in favour of dead cats. There'll be some lunatic you'll write in and say, I'm in favour of dead cats because I don't like cats. And apparently that's what you call a balance in the media nowadays. Then the newspaper will draw a close to it. It'll say, well, we better stop publishing these letters now because it'll get to a point where we'll have 87 pro-cat letters and 85 anti-cat letters, and then we'll try and balance it up, but we'll be two letters short. You won't have enough letters to balance it up, and we'll have to start making them up. And we don't want that to happen. So we'll stop it now while we're even. We're at two letters for each side, so we'll stop it now. We'll be fair and balanced reporters, and we'll start a competition instead about something. We'll have a crossword competition, except with diagonal words in it, and people will have to fill in the words diagonally from right to left, and it'll be to celebrate World Writing Backwards Day. Because there's certain countries where people write backwards, and not intentionally, and it's not called writing backwards when they do it. It's writing correctly when they do it, because it's part of their language that they write from right to left. Ironically, they drive on the left, and the road signs are on the right-hand side of the road, and they're printed backwards so that you can see them in the mirror. But they don't look like they're printed backwards, because they're actually printed forwards, because their language is backwards in written form. So when that's reflected in the mirror, it appears to be written forwards. So it looks fine. So there you go. That's that for you. Exciting moment. It's into your head. Number 82. I'm standing up at the moment. Well, that may change any second now. In fact, it just has changed. So I'm no longer standing up. I don't intend to give you a running commentary on my position for the next half hour. Because that could get rather tiresome, especially since in order to make it more exciting, I'll have to continuously stand up and sit down and find new positions to be in. But if I'm not going to commentate on it, that just means I can just sit here on my kitchen counter and not move at all, because I don't have to worry about whether my movements are entertaining enough for you. So I think that's what we'll do. I'll just sit here. I'm sitting up on my kitchen counter. Mainly to avoid being eaten by a dog, reminding a little dog who I'm afraid may eat me at some point. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if this dog is being minded properly, he won't be of a mind to eat the person who's caring for him. Well, you would think that, but this dog appears to want to eat me. He's looking at me with an evil face. And, well, I say an evil face. You can't have an evil face. A face is just a representation of what's in the mind. It's the mind that's evil, not the face. So, it's not an evil face, but it's a face that represents an evil mind behind it. Because, of course, the face is the window to the soul. It's like if you've got a... Now, I know that complicates things, because as I speak, I'm in a kitchen that has two windows. And a couple of doors, which technically are windows, because you can see through them into another room, and a hall. And the other room has glass doors, so I don't know what you call them. You probably call them glass doors, but they're windows as well. So if you take it that the face is the window of the soul, Then what happens if something has two windows? Does that being has two different souls, or there are two different parts of the soul that you can see? Well, neither is the case, because a kitchen doesn't have a soul. A kitchen isn't a person or a being. So if you're looking at a kitchen that's got two windows, you shouldn't be thinking about whether it's the window to the soul, because it's not. It's just a window to the kitchen. So we're letting in light and air, and basically letting out poisonous invisible gases that can kill you. Because apparently some parts of the country have poisonous invisible gases that can build up in your house. And apparently they kill you, despite the fact that you can't be seen or heard or detected unless you have some sort of dangerous invisible gas detection device. Now that's visible, that's not invisible, but it detects invisible gases. Presumably not through sight, because unless it's like it's like the visual equivalent of one of those dog whistles that only a dog can hear. Maybe there's some things that only a dog can see, or only an invisible thing detection device can see. But then it's not invisible at all. It's only invisible to humans or certain species, which means it's not really invisible. That's like if you say a cat can see air. That would mean the air is not invisible. It's just not visible to some people. It's not in our spectrum. I don't know what you're thinking there. You're thinking you can see stuff that's being moved by air. That's a different thing. If I see a blade of grass swinging in the wind, that doesn't mean I can see the wind. It means I can see the blade of grass swinging. And for all I know, it could be a couple of invisible strings that are being moved by a puppeteer, and they're attached to the blade of grass, and they're causing the grass to move. That's the sort of thing puppeteers get up to. They're complete weirdos. They go around with their little wooden handles, and they attach two pieces of string to the wooden handle, and then they attach the pieces of string to something. When they get bored of their puppets, they just attach the string to anything and cause them to move. Things like, basically everything. Not everything. They probably don't do it to aircraft. Because that could be dangerous, and they do have some, most of them do have some morals. They don't go around playing with aeroplanes, attaching bits of string to them and using them as puppets, unless they're able to do it safely. Of course there will be some skilled puppeteers who've been doing it all their lives, and if they were to attach their pieces of string to an aeroplane, they'd probably be well capable of guiding the aeroplane safely to its destination. But still, it's probably against the law. It's probably against the airline laws, whatever the airline laws are called. There's some body somewhere that governs the aeroplane industry and air flight, and it says things like, you can't go around attaching pieces of string to an aeroplane. An aeroplane should be able to fly on its own steam, using wings and an engine. Preferably more than one engine. I don't feel safe going in an aeroplane that has only one engine. Because if the engine cuts out, then someone's going to have to get out of the aeroplane in midair and go and open the bonnet and fix the engine and get it started again. And by the time they get that done, you'll be nearly on the ground. So you'll have to, start up the aeroplane again and take off all over again. And they'll probably. I was on an aeroplane flight once that got delayed by 4 hours because there was something wrong with the engine. Got delayed for 2 hours at Dublin, and then there was a stop off at Shannon in the west of Ireland. And then it got delayed for 2 hours there, and they told us, "Oh, it's okay. It's just a part in the engine that's got something wrong with it, but so we're going to replace it. So don't worry at all. It's just bits of the aeroplane falling off. They're completely replaceable, though. They're just like you. You're replaceable. As we speak, somebody is on our aeroplane movement company website somewhere. I suppose an airline company is what you call it. Our airline company website. Someone is on that somewhere booking another flight in your seat. And so you're totally replaceable. In fact, you probably only use this airline once a year at the most, because it's not like you're a business passenger. I mean, look at you. You're just some guy going off to Boston or somewhere to see your brother and drink beer and spend the summer there and then go back to being a student. It was quite incredible, in fact, that they knew so much about me, because this was all before 9/11, before there were all sorts of checks Nowadays, of course, when you get on an aeroplane, they check how many cats you have, and where you're going, and what you're going to do there. Now, they always ask you where you're going. I refer them to the pilot. I think the pilot is the best source of information on where we're going. It's up to him, or her. It's up to the pilot to decide where you're going. I can't be certain that the pilot is going to go where I want to go. So I don't want him. That's what I always say to the immigration officials. I say, I don't want to accidentally misreport where I'm going. I'm hoping to go to Boston, but if I were you, I would check with the guy who's driving the aeroplane, because he's the expert in these things. I don't know for certain until he makes an announcement just after takeoff saying we're en route to this such a place. Usually it turns out to be where I want to go. But, you know, I don't want to take the chance. You don't take chances in the aeroplane world, in the world of aeroplane travel. You can take chances in the world of car travel, of course. You can set off with the petrol omeher almost down at empty. And you can just hope that he'll get there before it runs out. It's called running on empty. Of course, it's not technically empty. There's still some fuel there, and that's what's powering the car. If it isn't, I want to know what is, because that would mean the cars don't need petrol to run on, in which case we've been duped and conned for the last 80 years of automobile travel into buying petrol that's of absolutely no use whatsoever. And it just burns away while you're travelling and has no effect. I once carried a can of petrol home on my pedal bicycle, and the bicycle didn't go any faster, but apparently none of the petrol disappeared or evaporated, possibly because I wasn't going fast enough for it to evaporate. So I still had all the petrol when I got home, and I put in the lawnmower. The lawnmower only has one engine, of course, but that's because apparently lawnmowers are considered safe. But there you go. That's don't get me started on the grass cutting industry. Tell you why, because the grass cutting industry is a con. That's why you get little kids coming round to your door saying, your grass is very long, can I cut it in exchange for some money? And I usually take offence to that. I'll say, are you saying my grass is very long? And they'll say, yes, it's here's a measuring tape, here's some of your grass, I'll put the measuring tape vertical beside the vertical blade of grass, and you'll see that the top of the grass is level with the 26-inch mark, and the bottom of the grass is level with the zero mark, meaning that your grass is 26 inches high. And I usually say, okay, fine, go ahead, cut my grass. Just don't expect to get any more than the agreed price for it. But then they go off and cut the grass, and they take 2 days to cut the grass because it's so long, apparently, and there's so much of it. And you feel guilty, and you give them more money than you had planned to give them. And that's all part of the con. They know exactly what they're doing. They're thinking, this guy's grass is long. I'm going to tell them I'll cut it for 2p, 2 pence. And then he'll get suspicious and say the pence were abolished several years ago when the euro came in. And they'll say, no, well, that's fine. We'll still accept old 2 pence coins. We'll exchange them at the central bank. You can still do that. You can still exchange old Irish money for euros at the Irish central bank. And then you'll say, oh, that's fine. I just want to check if I have any 2 pences. And they'll go, oh, no, that's fine. You check later. And then what happens is when they finish the grass, they come along to you for payments, and you go and try looking for your 2 pence coin, and you can't find one. And you have to give them 87 euros. Because they'll tell you, oh, 2 pence. If you translate that into American currency, it's $8, and then translate that into euros, it's 90 euros. But we'll round it off to 87 euros and 20 cents. And you're so confused that you just hand it over, and then they go away, and you never see them again. until your grass grows again, and then they'll start the whole thing over again. They'll say, do you want your grass cut? And you'll say, I thought you cut it a couple of weeks ago. And they'll say, yes, but it appears to have grown again. We didn't manage to stem the growth of the grass last time, so it seems to be continuing to grow. Would you like us to cut it again? And you'll say, yes, but do it properly this time. And then the whole thing starts over again. It becomes rather repetitive, if you ask me. That's why I didn't want to get started on the whole lawn mowing industry, because I end up going round in circles. Not literally, because I don't cut my own grass, but I end up going round in circles with this whole story about how they keep coming back to cut your grass again, and then I tell the whole story again of the whole money and euros and two pence story, and then I'll say at the end that they come back again 2 weeks later, and then I start the whole story again. I get into a vicious circle that I can't get out of. Luckily I seem to have got out of it this time, on this occasion, because I was conscious of it, I was thinking about it. But on another occasion, maybe I mightn't be so lucky. I could end up stuck here for hours and hours and hours, and then my battery would run out. I might break a record for telling the same story over and over again 3 million times, but my battery on my sound recorder would run out after around 25 goes around. So I would have no evidence of breaking that record, and the guy from the Guinness Book of Records would come along and say, oh, that's great, you told the story 3.8 million times, let me just check your recording so I can verify it and then put it in the Guinness Book of Records. And he'll be rightly stuck then. He'll say, I'm afraid I don't have a recording. How about I do it again? I'll start all over again and I'll do it again. And then you start doing it again, and then your battery still runs out. And the same thing happens all over again, and it gets, because that's getting rather repetitive. And then the only way out of it is to hope that someone will come to your door and ring the doorbell and interrupt your conversation with the guy from the Guinness Book of Records, because they'll say, do you want your grass cut? This is the closing segment of episode 82 of Into Your Head. This is basically me adding in a couple of minutes at the end to make the episodes a desirable length in my eyes, well, in my ears. Basically, just today's show is being a load of crap. I just want to get it out, get it over with, so I can start on a better one. You have to take the smooth with the rough, the good with the crap, and you have to basically. That's my way of saying tough shit. So this number 82 of Into Your Head is that's what it is. It's I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how are you going to spell that? Well, check the show notes. Check the tonight's topics include section of the show notes, and you'll see how I've spelt that. Go on, go look it up. Off you go. Go and check. If you're listening on your iPod, just press the middle button a couple of times until you get to the show notes, and then you'll see how I spelt that. You weren't expecting that, were you? No, you weren't. Well, you probably were. I suppose it's quite predictable in a way to anyone who has an educated mind, who has been through their country's education system, unless their country is a crap education system. Depends. Maybe they didn't go to their education system in their country. Maybe their parents were diplomats working abroad, and they spent all of their childhood living abroad and going to the education system of another country. Like Freddie Mercury did. He did. His father was a diplomat. He was born in Zanzibar, but his father lived in Britain. He was born in Britain, but his father lived in Zanzibar. They were from Britain, and he was born in Zanzibar and grew up there, and then he moved back to England. So something like that. Suffice to say, you don't necessarily have to assume that someone from a particular country is being subjected to the educational system of that particular country. Although usually they have. If you were to look up the statistics, you'd usually find that people from a particular country Wood. Oh, Sidney Pollack's dead. That's interesting. It says here he had glasses and grey hair. Now, it doesn't say that in writing. It says it in the photograph of him. That he had glasses and grey hair. And he wore a bow sometimes. Probably when he was at some Oscar ceremony or something. Or weddings or things. So he wore formal dress on formal occasions. So I assume he's at a formal occasion in that photo. Just shows his head and shoulders. This is before his death. I don't know what they're burying him in. Maybe they're going to put him in the ground. But I'm referring more to the attire in which he's going to be buried. Not that it's important. Well, it might be important to his family, but not to me. It won't affect me in any. It's not to say that I don't care about the man. It's just that it won't have any negative or positive effect on me. The choice of clothes in which he is buried. Maybe he's going to be cremated. I don't know. Actually, let's just check. I'll just do a search for Sidney Pollack cremated. Sidney Pollack probably hasn't happened yet, so I'll say to be cremated. Unless he's a member of that religion where they have to bury you the day that he die. Well, what happens if you die at 5 to midnight? Let's see. Sidney Pollack. No, there's nothing up yet. They haven't said how he's going to be dealt with yet. But presumably it'll be in some tasteful way. And I hope he has a peaceful and successful afterlife, wherever he is. I wish the man no ill will. I know very little about him. I did see a Woody Allen film once that he was in, as Woody Allen's character's friend. I think it was called, I don't know, Husbands and Wives or something, I don't know. Oh, I'll do a search, hold on. Sidney Pollack, Woody Allen. Search. It was Husbands and Wives, I was right. I'm absolutely, completely correct about that. Well, that's basically all I have to say about him. There's nothing to add, but this is filled up nicely. Five minutes and 20 seconds of the show. It's made it a bit longer than I'd planned. That's good. I wanted it to be longer than I'd planned. I'd only planned for about 20 minutes. I think it's going to be about 25 minutes now, maybe longer. Actually, I'll just keep going, will I? I'll keep going. We'll make it a longer episode. I don't want it to be a shorter episode anymore. I was going to make it be a shorter episode, but not anymore. I don't want it to be. Let's go and search for dead people on the internet. Let's see. Dead people on the internet. Suppose the phrase on the internet is superfluous. Well, I'll see it anyway. I'll write it anyway. Let's see. Something about Dr. Seuss. I think. I thought I saw something about Dr. Seuss, but I've scrolled down and I've lost it now. Hold on, I'll find it again. Search. Find on this page, Seuss. Oh no, it was Seuss, not Seuss. One S makes all the difference. Let's see what that's about. RIAA, Seuss the Dead. An 83-year-old deceased woman in copyright violation. Well, quite rightly so. She didn't invent death. And she's breaching copyright if she dies in a way that's being portrayed in a film or a book before and has been copyrighted. Anyway, it says she made more than 700 songs available on the internet. That's fascinating. What's the RIAA anyway? I don't know. Recording industry. Something. I don't know. Some crap. Hold on. Let's go to RIAA.com. Let's see, RIAA.com. Recording Industry Association of America. Well, that doesn't apply here. I'm in Ireland. I've got no interest in that story whatsoever. But I see the guy who writes Dilbert, who draws Dilbert, has posted a blog entry called My Cat. And that's of interest to me. I like cats. He says he has a scrawny little tuxedo cat. I don't know what a tuxedo cat is. think I'll just do a search. I've never heard of that before. Tuxedo cat. Bicolor cat. Bicolor cat with low grade spotting. That's what a tuxedo cat is. Oh, that looks like our cat Pippi. That's interesting. So our cat Pippi might be a tuxedo cat. Tuxedo cat photo gallery. Let's go into this. I hope I'm not keeping you. I hope I'm not delaying you in some way. If you've been listening to this podcast on your way to work and you've reached your workplace now, turn off your iPod and go into work and listen to this later when you're on your way home or something, because I don't want to get you into trouble. Let's see. Tuxedo cat. Yeah, these cats are more black and white than white and black. Pippi is black and white, I suppose. But Chili is white and black. Pet people places. Yeah, I'm bored with that now. Let's see if Woody Allen is dead yet. Hold on, I'll just do a search. Is Woody Allen dead? Woody Allen quotes. Dead or alive, Woody Allen. Here we go. Current age 72. Date of birth, 12th of the 1st, 1935. It doesn't say current date of birth, because of course your date of birth doesn't change. Let's see, field, entertainment, info, stuff about movies. Yeah, it says he's alive, so that's good. It's absolutely fantastic. Let's just see if we can find out more about him. I'll just do a search for stuff about Woody Allen. Actually, everyone knows who Woody Allen is. I don't need to use a surname. I'll just say stuff about Woody. Sick jokes and pictures, Woody stuff. This site contains material which some people may find offensive. Enter. Warning, blah 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 stuff, jokes. Let's go into the jokes section. What's blue and wiggles? A baby in a plastic bag. Well, that's disgusting. What's green and doesn't? What's green and doesn't? Same baby 3 weeks later. Well, that's disgusting. How do you make a dead baby float? Add root beer and 2 scoops of ice cream. That's absolutely appalling. I find this very offensive. What's blue, purple, pink, and sits in the corner? A baby with a rubber band around its neck. How do you kill a dead baby? Hit her over the head really hard with a brick. I find this stuff very expensive. Let's see what's on the next page. What's red and sits in the corner? A baby chewing a razor blade. When is it bedtime at Michael Jackson's house? When the big hand is on the little hand. Let's see what else we can find on this disgusting website. What's the difference between a fridge? I'm not reading that. How do you stop a baby crawling around in circles? Nail its other hand to the floor. That's disgusting. What's dangerous? It eats nuts. Syphilis. How many? Okay. What's ugly and sleeps alone? Yoko Ono. Well, that's very, very offensive. Yoko Ono, it's not offensive to say that she sleeps alone. And it's not offensive to say that... Actually, it's not offensive. There's nothing wrong with saying someone's ugly. Unless you're claiming that being ugly is something bad, and therefore you're taking offense at the use of the word ugly. That's like taking offense at the use of the word black. If you come along and say someone is black, and then someone takes offense at that, they're taking offense at being called black. Which means they're racist. So there you go. That's sorted out. What do you call Woody Woodpecker if his beak fell off? Woody Headbanger. What's 3 feet? Oh, no, I'm not reading that. This hilarious joke site is extremely offensive, and I'm not reading any more of it. But we filled up 12 and a half minutes of time in this segment now, so that's excellent. Let's see how much longer we can go for. I think I'll just do a web search for offensive material, because I want to look into this further offensive material. See if there's much more of it about. So there seems to be a problem with it. Offensive material. Advice, offensive material. How to report suspected illegal and offensive material. Well, that's from the UK police force. That's nothing to do with me. I'm not in the UK. Let's do pages from Ireland. Let's search for Irish pages. Two jails for having offensive materials. Neo-Nazi paraphernalia. That's interesting. Interesting in a way that I would find interesting were I, had I just come online to read the news from my local area. But not interesting in the sense of something that I can use shut up. Just shut your face and stop talking and just... churning your own butter. YouTube blow off is threatened in it. Science and nature. Historic picture sent. I don't know why I'm reading out these headlines to you. You probably have access to the internet. So I won't patronize you by reading out the news stories for you. They're probably not relevant to your area anyway. Suffice to say, I just wanted to extend the show a little bit by basically doing this. By doing this, I mean speaking and leaving lungs. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking this is degenerated into this guy just basically recording nonsense into your head, has degenerated into a show where this guy just talks nonsense for long periods. So it's time for the stop. It's time to put a stop to this.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.